You know, baseball is one of the more relaxing things for me, right? Like if I'm just trying to zone out, you know, relax, I can turn on a baseball game between teams I don't care about. And that's important. I have to not care about it so I can not be critical about it. But I can just kind of watch a little bit of baseball, kind of zone out. But I tried to do this on a plane yesterday, Sonny. Turbulence was awful. Flight delays were terrible. Atlanta was ground stopped multiple times. I'm trying to watch a baseball game on the plane with the turbulence. And that may have been the worst experience of my entire life. Just like, I'm the kind of person that'll turn on a Dominican Winter League game in, you know, in mid-December in the evening as I'm trying to fall asleep. And I had to turn off baseball. I had to make the intentional, conscious decision to turn off baseball yesterday. And I feel bad about it, Sonny.
Oh, well, if you would have been on our plane in Missouri, you would have felt even worse.
Yeah, it's just miserable travel weekends for everybody. Yeah. I'm glad that it didn't stop you guys, though. So welcome to the Barn Baseball Show, Lindsey Crosby, Sonny DeShera. Quick apologies for not having a preview show for Missouri last week. Those travel delays really kind of messed with me, you know, trying to get to where I could get on with Brad and record a preview. So sorry about that. But you guys didn't let the bad weather and everything kind of stop you too much. Auburn wins the series in Missouri. It's a sweep, 2-0 on Friday, doubleheader on Saturday, 4-3 in 10 innings, and then 9-2 in the nightcap. And this is just wild to me. Like, this is, what was this? This is the first road sweep to open SEC play since 2010. I know that, obviously, you guys expect to win every game. That's the goal. That's what you're trying to do. But when you went to extra innings in game two, so the opener on Saturday, did you have a moment where you're like we very easily could lose this being the road team and, you know, and thankfully still be able to take the weekend? Or was that just a, hey, we've always felt like we had this the entire weekend?
Well, it was, I think we were up 3-1 and then they scored or they tied it up. And so it was like, that was the first time they really had any life. Mm-hmm. And so it was a pretty, you know, everybody's kind of saying like, oh man, like we got to kind of lock it in type of thing. But I mean, they showed life for three innings the whole time we were there. So it was just kind of like, we had it from the beginning. Like even game one, when we went 2-0, it was just a boring game. Bub hits a homer and we're out of there in like 2.5 hours. they just never really had life.
Yeah, I mean, it was that was what I think surprised me the most about Saturday. I didn't get to watch all of Friday night's game because of the family obligations, but got to watch a lot of Saturday. I think what surprised me is it just Missouri, other than maybe that one kind of inning in the opener on Saturday, never really felt like they were in the series. And when you go back and you look at the overall stats, shout out to George GSID for sending these out to us. For the weekend, Auburn pitchers allowed 5 runs on 17 hits with 33 strikeouts. You know, we use 7 guys, but each starter gives at least 7 innings and they combine for 2 total runs. I feel like it's almost a broken record at this point where we come to start the week and I'm asking you like, what's it feel like knowing you have that pitching staff behind you? But I think the question now is like, are they going to blink? Like, is there going to be a matchup where you feel like the offense is going to have to pick up the pitching staff? Is the offense aware that like how lucky they are that they've got this behind them? And even when they get in the conference play, these dudes are still shoving and just shutting down opposing lineups.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if this stays up the whole year, we'll have 5 losses and win Omaha like nobody's business. So it's hard because we haven't seen these starters like slow up at all, which is great. And the fact that they went to Missouri, when Missouri was averaging 11 runs a game, and they were one of the best offenses, like top 5 offense in the country, I think, and gave up 4 runs is pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think I'm, I don't know what I'm more surprised by, that they didn't blink or that they just kind of kept doing it the same way that they've done it all year, right? I mean, they walk, the starters walk five guys on the weekend, right? Six total walks. Drew Whalen lets one guy come through, kind of, you know, kind of an ugly thing there. And we'll get to that, you know, in a little bit, but just not fazed by SEC competition. Now, granted, Missouri, they struggled last year. They're projected to struggle this year. Much bigger test coming up this upcoming weekend with Texas in town. And Georgia Tech tonight, we're going to get to that in a few minutes. That's going to be a kind of a big deal as well. The offense, you know, 25 hits, but only four doubles and then two home runs. It was a lot of station-to-station baseball. It was a lot of get the guy over, get him in, that kind of stuff. Was there ever a point where the hitters kind of said, okay, hey, this is going to be – we can't just slug our way out of this. We're going to have to, you know, shorten up the swings and have better quality at bats and just do a job versus being the hero. Was there like an explicit moment for that?
Or well, was no, have a I just think, yeah, I just think that's how this team is. They're not going to go up there. I mean, they can hit home runs, right? But they're not just going to go up there and try to hit home runs. They're going to try to just, you know, bunt, get guys over, hit a ground ball to the right side when you need to, type of offense, which those offense always work.
Yeah.
You know, if they have that approach that every single game of the year, we're going to be in every game. You know, it's not like Georgia Tech is doing a great job. It just,
oh gosh,
hitting homers and slugging. But that sometimes that's how teams do. And when you have the hit homers and the slug and the doubles mentality, if it doesn't work one day, you leave 50 guys on base and you don't win.
Yeah. To that note, I had it here. They left 21 on base. Missouri did. And it was one of those, like they had 25 hits. Nope. That's not right. They had 17 hits on the weekend. Auburn had 25. I had that backwards there. And so like, they're just not bringing in their guys.
Yeah. You said they left 20, how many on?
They left 21 on base is what the box says.
That's what it felt like. It felt like they got somebody on a lot and just never had the chance.
Yeah. And we've heard Butch talk about that, right? About like when you get the leadoff runner on, the odds of scoring in the inning, or was it like 60-something%?
Yeah, really high,
Yeah. And this is something where like the Tigers have just been really good. Always have been focusing on it, and it feels like the games where they roll, they're able to do it. I don't necessarily feel like it happened a ton this weekend, but either way, you get the win. I feel like we talk about this every week, but there's a McCrane who showed out. In this case, it was Brandon. He was on base multiple times in all four games last week. He goes 4-for-11 at Missouri, draws three walks, steals two bags. Game one, he didn't have a hit, right? Kind of snapped the hitting streak, but drew two walks. What was his reaction as a young player who's just now in the lineup for the first time in his second year of college to not be able to get a hit and lose that streak? Did he react, you know, like, hey, I got on base twice? Or was that one of those like, oh, that sucks, I got to do better tomorrow?
I don't even think he knew he had a hit streak. I didn't know until you said
it. I love that. Yeah.
But just the fact that I didn't know obviously means he didn't even approach the idea that it was a thing. So that's great. He got on base twice. And did he steal a bag that game too?
I think so. Yeah.
He didn't score on Bubs homer, right? That wasn't him.
I don't think it was him. I'm trying to find it real quick in the box, but I don't think that was him. Okay. But either way, just it's moving him to shortstop. I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but moving him to shortstop really feels like that may have been the big catalyst that we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little concerned. He's a ball player. I'm not worried about him being bad over there, but I think he had like 13 or 14 chances, converted every single one of them, and just didn't really feel like there wasn't a play that he wasn't going to be able to make. And I think that's big. Getting a guy
the routine plays.
He's just dominate the routine play.
Yeah.
That's what Butch wants.
Yes, it took him a couple games to get used to shortstop again. The first, whenever he started playing, I think maybe it was Winthrop. It took him a couple games, but he's just an athlete. And some guys are so much better at playing the middle of the field than the corners. I don't know what it is. He just has a better instinctive feel and move when he's out there at shortstop, and he just plays free. Whereas if he's playing the corner, he has to think a little more because he's not as natural at those. And so he's just an athlete. He dominated he made so many just plays this weekend on turf that did not look routine that he made routine.
Oh my gosh. I know that I don't know if you and I discussed this last week, but playing on grass over turf, obviously grass is like the purest choice and that's what everybody kind of wants. But other than the speed that the ball gets on you, like what other adjustments do you have to make to play on turf?
Yeah. You know, you have to evaluate how the turf is, right? The turf in Arlington is a synthetic something super research turf that is very expensive and it plays like real grass. So we didn't have to pivot there. And they had dirt, actual dirt.
Yeah.
But Missouri's field is brand new. It's bouncy. And it stinks. I hate turf, especially brand new. I think in a couple of years, the field will play correctly. But like this weekend, anything that you hit straight in the ground just got eaten up and balls could just skip on it. Yeah. And, you know, it makes a lot of infielders have to field up here instead of down. It just I think turf, if you get a turf field, you're lazy and you don't want to pay a field crew.
Yeah, it's I understand at a certain point in like youth sports and things like and even some like in the middle school, maybe even a little bit of a high school level, there's reasons to have a turf field. I feel like when you get to Division I in a power conference, you need to have a grass field. And like
I agree.
Auburn has some turf, but it's all on the outside. It's not.
I'm all for the turf on the outside. That's great.
What you're standing on in the coach's box. Yeah.
Yes. That saves having to paint the foul line in the outfield all the time. That saves. If the water's got to drain out, it doesn't have to keep draining off to the sides. It can just drain out in that turf and be gone.
Yeah.
It's just when the playing surface is when you make as much money as all these Power Four schools do, find a way to pay somebody to do your field.
Yeah. Also, find a way to pay the light bill. clearly the what was it? It was like almost a 2 hour rain, 2 hour lighting two-hour delay.
Light
because the lights go out there at Missouri. It was shortly after Bub's home run.
Yeah.
How much, just kind of like jokingly I ask this, how much talk was there in the dugout about, oh, that clearly was on purpose?
Well, we were hitting, I think, and you just hear this big like boom, and you look up and like half of the lights are out. On the backstop lights. So like the two big light poles, I guess a breaker that controls half of them just broke, whatever happened.
Tripped. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was just a fiasco. They brought in some guy to test the lumens. I didn't know they had a lumen tester. I mean,
they have a rule about how much light you have to have on the field to play. And
well, I didn't know how you go and find a lumen guy. I don't know if they're just sitting around, but he comes out and he's like, yeah, it looks the same. And it's like, come on, bro. It doesn't look the same.
It's clearly not the same.
It's clearly not the same. And then they treated it like a weather delay. And they were like, hey, if you want to play, let's play. So, all right, let's go.
How bad was that for Jake? Jake's sitting there at that moment, two hits, no runs through seven innings, one walk, seven strikeouts. But, like, he's at 82 pitches.
Yeah.
Like, with one quick inning, couple ground balls, he can go the distance here. This can be a Maddox. He can get out of this with 100 pitches or less, and he ends up having to come out, and Garrett Brewer comes in for the final two innings. But at what point, I guess, like how long do you think it was before you guys had to be like, yeah, there's no way we can send him back out there. We just got to go ahead and call this.
After about
like 20 minutes, an hour.
Because he was still like standing up, just kind of tossing off the wall and just staying loose. But yeah,
staying warm a little bit. And then after a while, you just have to call it.
It sucked for him because I thought he was going to go CG.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes when your lights go out, that's what you got to do. You can't pitch anymore.
Sometimes when the lights go out in Missouri. Yeah.
And we played with the same lights that were out. They were just like, all right, let's just play.
Like, okay. then why couldn't we have done this, like, you know, after 5 minutes and just waited for light to come back on? Why do we have to wait almost 2 hours? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating part, I think, for a lot of people who, whether it was us trying to get a post-game show in or whether it was, you know, fans watching from home and everything. Mm-hmm. I imagine there in the ballpark, people were frustrated just, you know, because there's not weather. You can play. They're just waiting. And at a certain point, be quicker on the decision to go ahead and just play through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be annoying. All right. In just a second, I want to wrap up Missouri and then talk about this Georgia Tech series tonight, because this is the highest rated matchup in Plains and Park history. We'll do that next right here on the Barn Baseball Show. Welcome back to the Barn Baseball Show. Lindsey Crosby, Sonny DeShera. If you see him at the game tonight, pinch him. He's not wearing green. but like looking at the weekend, you know, we do this every time. We talk about the offensive performers and things like that. But sorry, I have a little. Okay, it went away. There's a sneeze. It's like right there, and I can't. It's right there. It's frustrating. But I think the big thing for me is this was a weekend where the guys who have carried the offense so far this year, your Chase Frelick, your Eric Guevara, your Bub, they combined for 5 total hits. And granted, Bub has the homer, Frelick has a double, and Frelick's the one that scored on Bub's homer and everything. But they combined for 5 hits, and yet Auburn, you know, really only gets pushed in the opener on Saturday, the doubleheader opener on Saturday. What was the reaction for the team when Todd Clay goes 4-for-8 this weekend after he had that 0-17 to start the season?
Yeah, him and Ballou, man, we were so excited for them. It's obviously nobody wants to see that struggle. And if you ever have gone through a struggle like that, it's like, when is it ever going to end? And I'm happy that they just got to see some light that, hey, you guys are still good baseball players. I promise you can still hit the ball. Like it's not just a one-off thing. You know, you're here for a reason. You keep getting put in the lineup for a reason because we need those guys, right? Mm-hmm. We need those guys to be good. And I'm just happy that they were able to have a good weekend and just get some more confidence rolling.
Yeah. It feels like now it's been, I want to say maybe 3 different weekends where you guys have played a doubleheader on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I know that it's a long day at the yard, but at this point, the fact that you guys have been so good in those doubleheaders, you've gone to extras sometimes in that first game of the day, but you guys keep winning these. Mm-hmm. How strong is the urge to just be like, hey, can we just keep doing this? Can we just keep stacking doubleheaders on Saturdays versus stretching it out over a 3-day weekend?
The urge for me is not there. I'll tell you that. I hate doubleheaders. In the minor leagues, we got to play 2 7-inning doubleheaders. But
yeah,
2 9-inning doubleheaders.
Short them up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. We play good in doubleheaders. Our guys just locked in the whole time. I think that's our advantage. Is other teams maybe like towards the second game, like they might just be dragging. But I think our guys do a good job of just keep going. Like we scored the most runs all week. Yeah, like we scored 7 runs in an inning in like the 6th or the 5th. Somewhere around there in game 2 of the doubleheader. So we were still locked in.
Yeah, and I feel like that was maybe the thing that was not completely missing from this team, but that we hadn't seen a ton of outside of a couple run rule victories was that really big inning, that kind of kill shot inning, you know, where you score 5 or more runs. I feel like there's been a couple, but a lot of it's been 2 here, 1 here, maybe 3 there or 2 there, but then getting that big inning like that.
And I think that was set aside Winthrop. I don't think that we've had many games where we just, you know, score a bunch of runs in an inning. It's more about like you just said, 1-2, 1 here, 2 there, 3 there. And that's what you get when a team like this approach that our team has is get them over, get them in, and just rinse and repeat. That's going to survive longer than the hitting homers and doubles and just trying to slug.
Yeah. Especially with like the first out coming on, let me get this 4-5, the 6th batter of the inning was the first out, right? It was a productive out. It was a Chris Rimbert sacrifice fly, right?
Yep.
And so like, again, those guys weren't necessarily putting up amazing stats. Like the sacrifice fly, I don't even think registers as a at bat. Chase Frelick had a fielder's choice that you know, that got a runner to third the very next play. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up coming in on the Ethan Bingaman homer. But I feel like that's kind of been the big adjustment that we were waiting for from this team. And so I'm glad that it's there. And I'm hopeful that we're going to see more of that. I think you're going to need it tonight facing Georgia Tech. Because, and you mentioned this earlier, Georgia Tech is one of the best offensive teams in the country. Through 20 games, they're hitting .393 as a team. It's a .511 on base, and it's a .683 slug. They have four different players batting over .400. And another three batting .375 or better. It is absolutely intense what they've done offensively this year. But flip side here, Andreas Alvarez, .137 ERA. He's held opposing batters to a .217 average. And he's putting up whiff rates on his secondaries that are phenomenal. 41% on the slider, 52% on the curveball. This feels like an unstoppable force, a movable object meeting tonight, right?
Yeah, right. This is, I mean, I know it's going to be freezing cold, but I hope people come out. They're doing everything they can. They're giving away Chick-fil-A sandwiches. They did the half price of the half price beer and hot dogs. So it's
half price beer and hot dogs, folks. 4 p.m. is the game time. They've moved it up because of the weather. So like you have, you know, you can get out there. I'm trying to get out of work early so I can be there for the start of the game. I may be late getting there. But like you're doing everything they can. Here's kind of my question. And I know that this isn't really kind of your purview here, but Georgia Tech's home ballpark, a 3-year park factor of 123. It's 23% more friendly to offense at home than the average ballpark. Do you think, or I guess, are the guys aware that, like, hey, this is a team that's really good at home, but they're not really tested on the road? Or is this just one of those, like, it doesn't matter. It's another game. We got to go do it. And we'll play our game no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a thought process of like, man, these guys are really good. And then you look into a factor like that. I don't know if the players look into a factor like, oh, their park is small. Cause I don't know if any of these guys have even played there to see that. Cause their park does play small. I played there in the fall, my sophomore year, and it does play small, but you have to hit the ball still at least .380 to center to get a couple. You still have to hit it. And that's the biggest thing. Like I'm looking at their extra base hits compared to ours. We have 53 extra base hits and they have over 110 extra base hits.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that they're not just hitting homers, they're hitting doubles and they have a good approach, it seems. And if that approach does not survive, if they find themselves getting in trouble, then that's when they're going to not produce. Hopefully that's tonight.
Yeah, hopefully that's tonight. And this is something, they have played some quality competition. They played Virginia Tech at home. They won 2 out of 3. They played Clemson on the road. They won 2 out of 3. But they've played a grand total of 5 games outside of that home ballpark.
Yeah.
Out of their 20 games this year, they are 17-3.
I'm looking at another interesting thing right here.
Yep, go ahead. I love sunny
pitchers. The pitchers, like when we face teams, our ERA against teams when we're hitting is a 6.94. So we're scoring around 7 runs a game.
Okay.
Georgia Tech's ERA against other teams is 13.65. So they're scoring almost 14 runs a game.
Yeah, and like they've had some big blowout wins. They beat Northwestern 17-3 and 13-3 in back-to-back games. They beat Stony Brook 21-3 in game 3 of that series. They went on the road at Georgia Southern and won 25-1. So like they beat Bowling Green at home 27-4, right? Game 1 of a doubleheader. And it's funny because when you look at the box score, doubleheader game 1, 27-4, game 2 was a run rule game. So it was very clear that like after the first game of the doubleheader, like Tech scored 11 runs in the third inning. after the first game, the coaches were like, hey, we should do a run rule for game two. Like, we should agree on a run rule.
Seriously.
Yeah, because 27 runs is nuts. So I do think that there is, when you look at the quality teams that they've played, I mean, they've been, some of these games have been blowouts. They beat Virginia Tech 16-1 and 14-5, but like, they lost a 9-6. They lost a 13-7 to Clemson. Like, they're a little bit gettable. And I do think it's going to be a great matchup either way.
Yeah, for sure. I think their pitching staff is definitely gettable. Like, they have had one guy who has started every week for them.
Yeah.
So it looks like they are still searching.
Yeah. Dimitri Angelakos is, I believe, the starter tonight.
Oh, he's pitching tonight. Okay.
Yeah. 138 ERA. Fastball sitting right around 90. He's got a low 80s slider and a high 70s changeup. The slider is the big weapon. He can land it for strikes, but like, it's not an arm that has impressive stuff that like you can't seem to, like you can't catch up to the stuff. It's just a matter of seeing the spin out of the hand versus the fastball and what you can do there.
I'd imagine we won't see him long. He's got five appearances in 13 innings. So
yeah,
I'm sure they're going to throw a bunch of guys. Not every team has a solidified Tuesday ace like we do.
Yeah. Drake could easily step
in on the weekend too, right? So we got a good one in Dre.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 19 2/3 innings in the midweeks this year. And it's like,
he's literally probably the only guy, the Tuesday pitcher who has that many innings. If I had to, like, Tuesday starter.
I'll pull, I can't find it right this second. I'll pull the SEC's baseball stats. I'm willing to bet he's probably the only qualified starter in the
qualified Tuesday. Yes.
100%. There you go. Yeah. So fantastic matchup again. That's at 4 p.m. You heard Sonny mention all the different things they're doing. They're giving away Chick-fil-A to the students. They've got the discount beers and hot dogs and everything. Y'all come out to support the Auburn Tigers. You'll see Sonny there in the first base box, not flinching anytime somebody hits a ball that way.
Never.
My wife thinks that's hilarious. She's like, she watches specifically for the foul balls now to see if Sonny's going to get got by one of these lefties or not. We'll see what happens. And then hopefully Auburn's winning streak, Auburn's ability to, I mean, it's at 10 games right now. You lost the first game against Nebraska. Haven't lost a game since then, but this is the toughest test. You got number 3 Georgia Tech tonight. This is the highest rated matchup in Plains and Park history, if I saw that right. And then number 2 Texas this weekend. 6 p.m. and 2 a.m. pending a change for weather if it gets super cold again. So really excited to see this. And we will be back later this week, myself and Brad Law, to break down Georgia Tech and preview Texas. For Sonny the Sheriff, I'm Lindsey Crosby. This has been the Barn Baseball Show. I almost said Brad Law again. I almost said my name was Brad Law, and I don't know why I keep doing that.
I'm Brad Law.
This has been the Barn Baseball Show.